Good evening, everybody. So I have to tell you the truth. First of all, as we resume after Pesach, this chapter, we were talking about different things about loans beforehand, and we're up to Meister now, which is tithing and then giving a fifth. And then afterwards, we get into all kinds of other mitzvahs like Hachnasas Orachim, welcoming guests and visiting the sick and burying the dead, and all different others of the acts of kindness, chesedim. And as of a couple of days ago, I actually thought to skip Meister to tithing. Why? Because the Chafetz Chaim, in this chapter, the next couple of chapters, gets very halachic. He happens to have opinions. He's a Poisek, he's the author of the Mishnah Berurah. Not everything is universal. Meister, giving tithing, is very important to halachas. And this is like a short chapter. I was concerned maybe it would be misleading to people. He passed in certain ways, and he has certain opinions, which the Chafetz Chaim, the author of this work, is certainly entitled to, but none of them are all universal. And I was like, we'll do this. Really, Meister needs like an intense halachic class to give it over. It's super important. Today I had a doctor's appointment, so we'll just backtrack. The reason I'm adding up to be Meister right now is 2 days ago, or 3 days already now, I got two questions in a row, people saying three things about Meister. I'm like, oh, maybe I should discuss this. So we're going to do Meister. Just keep in mind that one has to ask questions. It's very important. Moshe Feinstein, who is the greatest 20th century Rav Pesach in America, really, used to say, people ask him lots of questions, but very few questions about Meister, about tithing. So today, actually, knowing that I was going to give this class today in Avas Chesed, and the Sefer we're learning, the work that we're learning, so I took another Sefer, had a doctor's appointment, skimming around, Sefer and stuck with Meister, and this Indian doctor, Dr. Gupta, asks me, what are you studying, Rabbi? So I told him the laws of tithing. He was very interested. So do people really tithe? And I said, yeah, absolutely. It's an obligation to tithe. I didn't get into whether it's today in a Torah, biblical, or into a banan, rabbinical, or it's a custom. But I did tell him, of course, the obligation today, in our day and our time, is only if you can pay your own expenses. But once you can pay your own expenses, then you're obligated to tithe. Or a very strong custom, at least. I said, if you can't afford it, legitimately, of course, because I told them today, a lot of people, they're tight in their budget, not because they don't make enough money, but really their lifestyle is way too high. So he said, so what about them? I said, they're mismanaged. He thought, this Dr. Gupta thought that was very funny. But for us, assuming that a person is managed correctly, they have their priorities in life correctly, Meister is an important thing. I want to do it, I'll throw in a little bit here or there, but I just want to say, really, as individuals, people have to ask their own questions when you're doing Meister, how, what, when. Okay, says the Chafetz Chaim, V'ata navo levayer. Now I'm going to come and explain, Ezo derech yavar ha'adam, how a person could go ahead and fulfill their obligation of chesed, kindness, consistently. Hinei le'el, earlier in the prakim she'avru, be'arnu detoiv she'yafresh ha'adam, the Chafetz Chaim elaborated upon that it's proper for a person to have a separate account. Today, by the way, with DAFs, with designated, with loan funds, or the Fidelity, or the Chesed Fund, or other types of funds. People put money in aside of separate bank accounts, specifically to do acts of kindness and Chesed, because it gets mixed into one account, ends up being paid for, going to someone's wedding, or a vacation, or you want a new suit, whatever it is, and the money kind of gets mixed up or lost. So you should have a separate account. He says, do it correctly. The best way is take off Meiser. So we'll get to the principle, but in theory, any profit a person makes, we'll figure out shortly, you should give a tenth. Umizeh, now this is the Chavetz Chaim's opinion that he's about to say right now. And from this, you should give the Meister money, 2/3 should go to Tzedakah, and in the Chavetz Chaim's world right now, he's poskening that the Tzedakah should be for the poor, 2/3 directly to the poor. And the Chavetz Chaim has another opinion, okay? It's all based on sources, but again, it's not universally accepted by everyone as the authoritative opinion. Another third should go to do chesed. In the Chavetz Chaim, well, that's a gemach. Have a third that's for a free loan fund. As we mentioned previously, in the Chavetz Chaim's world, in the reality of Europe, Eastern Europe, in the late 19th century, free loan funds are how a lot of people paid and lived. They pay their grocery bills, lived day to day, and they were very important. So 2/3 give directly to the poor, says the Chavetz Chaim, with the tithing, and 1/3 give to start in the beginning a gemach. Then, says the Chavetz Chaim, she's got its etzel shir chashim, when you have a lot. Then when you don't need any more of a gemach, so then should just go to tzedakah bavad. Now, hafrash is meiser, giving a tithing, giving a tenth, is a big idea. Now, we're not doing the halacha that I just said. There are opinions. Now, in the Torah, hafrash is meiser, taking off meiser, the classic meiser is you take a tenth of your crop. Okay, it's not a tenth of your salary, it's a tenth of your crop. The question is how that translates to today. None of us are farmers, to my knowledge. None of us have crops. What's the obligation if you take a salary from a tech company, from a hospital, from a law firm, from a real estate company? What's the obligation of Meister? There are those who hold it's biblical, including the Vilna Gaon. There are those who hold it's rabbinic. Most opinions hold it's neither biblical or rabbinic, but it's a universal custom, a very strong custom amongst the Jewish people, which gives it more flexibility, as we'll see. Chavetz Chaim says, the pasuk says, "Aser ta'aser." Okay, you should tithe in order that you should become wealthy. Aser b'shvil shata'aser. It's aser, right? You want to become wealthy in this world? Give tzedakah. Now, uvachol davar aser l'naseh hakadosh baruch hu v'zeh mutar. And every other area, it's forbidden to test Hashem. We don't test Hashem, right? We are servants of Hashem. If your child tests you, right? If your employee tests you, the child's getting in trouble. Employee, even a spouse, don't get shown bias. Don't test your spouse. Not a good idea. Okay, they tell you something, trust them, right? I always say in shalom bias and being happily married, the most important ingredient is trust. So you don't test your spouse, right? Even a parent relationship with a child, super important. Trust. Trust is so you trust people. Hashem says, "Give, I'll give you more." Trust Hashem. And yet, vazeh mutter. Here it's mutter. The Talmud says, "Bitam she'amra hakasav," because the Torah tells us, "Hadiyah is called ma'aser el beis ha'aitzer v'yeter pebeisi." Uvachanuni, Torah says, I'll show you in this, Hashem Svachos, imo eftach lachem, that I will open for you the Arubas HaShemayim, barikos lachem bracha, I will give you bracha ad lidai, and the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Mem Zayim, Paskins, that in Meiser, it's permitted to test Hashem. Now, I want to say one thing on this. Chavetz Chaim has a very long note, and he comes to prove that if you give Meiser, you will become wealthy. Aser b'shvata saser. I mentioned I was a little bit hesitant to do this chapter, the next couple of chapters, because these chapters are matters of machlikis, some of the points. This is actually a matter of machlikis. The Torah says, aser taser is a Torah command, right? You give Meiser tefuah, you give your field, you will get wealthier. Who says that applies to Meister of money? Meister Ksafim, we call it. When you give money, does that biblical blessing apply? The Chafetz Chaim tries very hardly to prove that, and there are many people that hold this way. There are those, in full disclosure here, who do not believe that, who do not believe that you will, that you're guaranteed to get the money back like that. Okay. I will say, hashkafically, and I live in a city right now, Chicago. There's a lot of very wealthy, very generous people. I know many people who give 20% of their salary, and they have big salaries to charity. Some even give more. We will see if that's permitted in a week or two from now. There are people who I know who give 30-40%, and they're giving, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, a lot of leaving, going to Israel, to national organizations, right? And they do very well. And the truth is, if you look at all of the Sfarim, a giver gets. I mean, we just, the Chafetz Chaim discussed that before. So even though this is a matter of debate, the Chafetz Chaim says conclusively, what I don't think it's any matter of debate is that a giver gets. Hashem gives people who are givers. That's throughout the works of Kabbalah, Midrashim, Gemaras, Rishayim, V'Achrayim, that if you are a giver, you will get. On the contrary, if you have an employee who shares and gives, that's the person that they become a kli, that it's me that can get me that, as we discussed, they will get. So people who put aside Meiser will get. There's no question in my mind. I think there's no question of that. But is it this possible? Aser taser love? That's not necessarily true. And again, if you give Meiser, you're covered, right? You've covered your obligation. Who knows? You know, for the people on the share, people, you know, every share right now, actually, I don't know who or what, recently, like thousands of, been thousands of downloads on my website in every week, different types of shirim. But whoever listens, you know, to this, to my, giving or getting, when you give Meiser, you're covered. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that you've at least done your obligation. We don't know our true capacity, right? Yeah, let's say, I'm going to pick a number. I don't know if you necessarily apply to anyone who's listening to this. A person makes a year, $500,000 a year. Okay, that's a good salary. Maybe you can afford bread in the Bay Area after your rent and all mortgage. It's like if you're like, it's, you know, in most of the Midwest, making $500,000 a year, you're a rich man. Like in the Bay Area, like the housing, it's so crazy there. Mom is crazy. I don't know. It's like crazy. But jokes aside, making $500,000 in the Bay Area, you can live. I don't think you can buy a house in every place you want to, but you have a workable salary. So. $500,000. I'm not getting taxes yet, or how that goes. In theory, right? Let's say $500,000 after taxes to get together. Right? That's more money, right? So you should give $50,000. Let's say you have Meiser. So what's your obligation? What do you really need, right? Do you want to drive a Lexus? Do you want to drive a Camry? Do you want to drive an Odyssey? Do you want to buy a house in Willow Glen? Do you want to buy a house in in Cupertino, or whatever, the houses' prices are different. Right? You can buy Los Altos, different price. What do you need? Right? Do you need to go on vacation? Do you need to drive business class? You would have no idea, right? And there are people who think they're doing travel. I just saw that I think the top 10 richest people in America are not even close to the top 10 givers. Only one of them, Warren Buffett, is on the givers. Like, you look at the numbers, it's like Elon Musk gives like 0.06 of his wealth to charity. You know, this one, 0.06, that means, does not mean 6%. He's like 0.06%. Right? So Elon Musk was now $750 billion. He's $30 million. I'll take $30 million, but for him, it's nothing. He may think he has $30 million, making $50 million. It's nothing. For a man, that man's making billions of dollars a year. Hundreds of billions, I think, he made last year. But for you and I, Meiser makes, we'll be covered. We've done our basic obligations. If you want to be holier, you can do more. Again, what if you can afford it? I'm telling you right now. The gather of Meiser is the tzarech lahafresh mitchila. So we're not going to tell you the mechanism of Meiser. Okay, this chapter is a little bit halachic. As I said, I was back and forth. First, it's from Achleikis. Secondly, there's less of the hashkafa, of the Weltanschauung, of the world. Where here's the technicalities. But I think it's important for us to go through this nonetheless, because it's a reminder of what we couldn't be doing. I just told a little bit of a vignette today. This week, two of the greatest sages of Israel were in Chicago. And one of them is Moshe Hillel Hirsch, who was one of the two elder sages of Israel, of the state of Israel, in Israel and Eretz Israel. He grew up in America, was a Talmud of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, and moved to Israel, I think the late 50s, if not the early 60s, maybe 60, 61. He married one of the big Rosh Hashiva's daughters there. It was Rosh Hashiva of Bnei Brak. All of the yeshivas, the decisions of the yeshiva world, of the Haredi world, whatever you want to call it, he's one of the two people to do it. So I sat down with him on Sunday. And today, I sat down with one of the big Rosh Kollel, a big Rav from Bnei Brak. His name is Shimon Galai, who's known as a huge tzaddik as well. Shimon Galai, very often, but he's known. I mean, he's davening, he says Aleinu. He can say Aleinu from 5 to 20 minutes. Literally, his Aleinu is from 5 to 20 minutes. I'm not joking. And he's Aleinu! It's real. He's a very real person. I've met him many times. So I told someone today, it's interesting. I personally, several years ago already, he changed my Aleinu. Why? I said, I happen to be, I'm a slow davener. I bench with a lot of kavana. I say grace after meals, Birkat HaMazon, with a lot of kavana. I say Asher Yatzer. Every time I say Asher Yatzer, I try to only say it from a card or a thing on the wall. It's your health. Without your health, you're the biggest pauper. You have all the money in the bank. Your health, you say, thank Hashem for your health. You pray for more health. Asher Yatzer is a school law. It's important to pray, to thank Hashem that your body works. Shmona Esrei, I can daven personally. I'm a big davener. But I'll tell you the truth, Aleinu, when I look back, I didn't speed it, but I didn't focus enough. It happens when you learn the history of Aleinu and the importance. But Aleinu, even as a kid, no one focused on Aleinu. It wasn't really a discussion. But watching him with his Kavanah Aleinu made me double think about the whole thing. So I think, Aleinu, I should be doing Aleinu like that. What? What is he really doing for 5 to 20 minutes? What? It wasn't like even trying to mimic him. It's just a reminder to me. Aleinu is from the time of Yeshua, the time of Joshua, the fall of Yericho. Right? It's talking about the oneness of God, the greatness of God. So it's the same thing over here. Like, Meister should be, the fact that we're doing this should be a reminder to us that Meister is important and that we should be asking questions. And that we should be taking it seriously. And, that it's actually a little bit of a leap of faith, because, again, one should ask questions. There are people that should not get meiser. You should not get meiser and ask for it stucco. You should not get meiser and then have not enough money in the house and get into tension and fights. But this has to be in the thought process of all of us. Okay? So we talk about meiser together, and that by next week we'll talk about even giving more than meiser. You talk about Meiser, the first thing you do is you take off from the Karen. Let's say, he'll talk about the last thing he'll say, I'll skip it, I'll say it right now, is that if you get an inheritance, you have to be Meiser. So Uncle Maury leaves you $1 million, $100,000 put into a DAF, discretionary advised fund, give it to Meiser, $100,000, give it to a charity, whatever. You get $1 million from a will, after taxes, whatever you get. You get $1 million after taxes, that $100,000 goes to Meiser. God did not mint you to get a million, you meant you get $900,000. $100,000 to see what you'll do with that. And that's to give it to Meiser. The fun thing is, you get to pick where you want to give it to. Do you want to give it to this or that? Okay. So the first thing is take from the Karen, from the principal. The achar kach. So now you get the $900,000 and you invest it. You have financial advisors, you put in mutual funds and bonds, you buy a little whatever, okay? The profits, we'll see how you value the profits shortly. You give 10% afterwards the profit. So you got $900,000. Now let's say $900,000 make whatever profits from going on forward, say maybe $50,000 profits, you have another $5,000 in stock a year later. Okay? In a yesh harbit, a notion happens to many people who are careful about meiser from the revach. They don't give the million dollar inheritance, they don't give meiser the $100,000. But now they have $1 million, they make 5%, they give it $50,000 from that. So you can take $5,000 and stuck up on the future profit. Of a low minakan, they don't give them the principal. The low chen derech emetz, that's not how you fulfill the obligation of meiser. From the beginning, you gotta give from the karen, from the principal. Amnam, however, the Yitzhahara, now you have $1 million. Okay, I'm picking, you got $1 million inheritance over here. People get houses from their parents or their grandparents, whatever, you know, house, someplace is $1 million, maybe in the Bay Area, it's $2 million even, right? Assuming there's no mortgage. So your Yafesh, the Yitzhahara doesn't want to give meiser. That's a lot of money to give charity. You know what you can do? You have $1 million. You have $900,000 for yourself, but the Yitzhahara doesn't want you to give charity. Doesn't want you to give charity. Wants to hold it back. You know, by the way, I don't know if you saw it. I published this article in England. So a while back, I published on Moses Montefiore. This is several years ago already. Because I got reprinted in Algemeiner today. I got like a lot of people bothering me about England today. So I showed some people my article on Moses Montefiore. Sir Moses. And Sir Moses never had children, lived to over 100, gave astronomic sons to charity. And I think I've said this story before, that Queen Victoria asked Montefiore how much, his brother-in-law, by the way, was Nathan Rothschild. That's how Moses Montefiore, his wife, and Nathan Rothschild, who was the richest person in the world at one point, okay? Nathan Rothschild was the richest Rothschild and the richest power. And they were super wealthy. It was before income taxes, anything. He had like a huge percent of England's income. They made a killing on, Nathan was the one who made the killing on the fall of Napoleon, Waterloo. And Moses Montefiore was a brother-in-law of Nathan, and he made a lot of money also. So Nathan would be like the trillionaire today. And Moses Montefiore was a multi-billionaire afterwards, and he retired at 40. And he gave a lot of money to charity, and he was a defender of the Jews. And at one point, Queen Victoria asked Montefiore, how much money do you have? And he gave her a low ball number, a high number, a very high number, but a low ball. And she said, Sir Moses, I know you have more money than that. He said, no. That's the money I give to charity. The rest of the money, I don't consider mine. Right? What I gave to charity, that's mine. No, why? That's for eternity. She was like floored by what he said. But it's true. If you think of Sir Moses Montefiore, do I care about his carriage from London in 1847, what carriage? Does it make a difference today whether we had 15 apats or two, right? Does it make a difference? Moulins for traveled, he traveled extensively in his life. A lot of for the Jewish people, went to Israel multiple times, went to Russia, this place to defend the Jews. But he also traveled. Does it make a difference where he traveled? It doesn't make a difference. That what he did, the fact that he built the top level of the Kotel, those the last level of stones because the Arabs were throwing garbage to the Jews. The fact that he supported Jews in Poland and in Russia. The fact that he used his money to build a whole neighborhood called Yamin Moshe in Jerusalem, that was where the windmill is, right, named after Sir Moses Montefiore. And he supported the poor of Israel and helped build up early Jerusalem and Israel. Right? That's eternity. Right? And he helped the Jews of England. That's eternity. But the Yitzhahara doesn't want us to have that. So I said, Sir Moses Montefiore, why in the world are you giving so many hundreds of millions of pounds away? Keep your hard-earned money. Now, Montefiore has no kids, by the way. I'm picking him for a reason. He doesn't have any descendants. So what would he have done with that? What would have happened with that money? He acquired eternity. Well, we finally could become a little rich. We get $1 million in inheritance. He says, keep the money. Don't give it. You know what $100,000 is? It's a lot of money. It's a salary for some people. It's a lot, or it's a few months' salary. And it was your grandmother who left you, or Uncle Maury, left you the property, left it for you. He didn't leave it for you to give to somebody else. No, there's no, you know, God didn't say that. God said you give $100,000. Uncle Maury didn't tell you not to. And if he did, it wouldn't make a difference, by the way, in this case. I'm not getting into these details. Unless you need it for your own self, whatever, there are exceptions. But it's how you use every trick you should give tzedakah. Every trick. Va'etz Yusuf is nearly take the ma'aser right away and give it over. He says, by the way, again, if you give it to the poor, he's talking about some people who struggle. Let's say, he says, you can put the ma'aser into a free loan fund, and if you need the cash flow, you yourself could take from it. That's what he says. He says, you know, you can put it back there, but you in the meantime. And today it's a little bit more, in America, there's way less of a need. By the way, in Israel, there's way more of a need for gemachs, just for the record. But if you need it, you can borrow from your own gemach, if you need the money. And therefore, you've got the mitzvah of ma'aser with part of it, and giving this gemach, and you have cash flow at the same time. Achol, Zed, then the Chafetz Chaim says, this is only according to the Rambam. And the Shulchan Aruch, who hold that that you can use a free loan fund for Meiser. And then he gets into a little bit of the details there, which is important. The Chafetz Chaim said, I mean, it's a bracket, I'm just going to say it outside, that the Chafetz Chaim said that he holds 2/3 should go to the poor, 1/3 should go to this free loan fund. Other opinions are, you can give ma'aser to anyone. You can use ma'aser for the shul. You can use ma'aser to support kiruv. You can use ma'aser to give to any mitzvah you want to do. And that's actually the unless you decided to give to the poor and to whatever, or specifically poor Torah scholars, that the general meaning of most is to give ma'aser to any mitzvah. Okay, the stringent opinion is to give ma'aser only to the poor and free loan fund. So it says, according to the other opinion, for sure the free loan fund is fine. But there are these two opinions. Most people, now I'll give you an example. I know people who follow this opinion. They give 20%. So the first 10% they give to the poor, specifically usually to poor who are Torah scholars or any poor. And the next 10%, they will give to kiruv, to shuls, to schools, whatever it is. Others hold that any mitzvah is you could and should give to, and that's what may do. When I got married, I asked the head of the Abbeis of Lakewood, the senior posek of Lakewood, his name is Rabbi Yaakov Forsharmer. Again, I'm just telling you the outs of this, and he told me there are two approaches. Most do like the shach, the taz, that you can go ahead and give to any mitzvah, the beragoyla. But you should decide now, because once you start, if you start the other opinion, you should probably continue that and not do that. So from the time I've been married, I actually took the one opinion and have followed that. Okay. So the Chafetz Chaim discusses this idea of the free love. Then at the end here, he discusses how the proper way to do ma'aser is. Okay? He says, I want to just tell you in short. Again, I'm just reiterating this. This whole thing of ma'aser, I feel like I'm going to finish ma'aser, go on weiter, I'm going to go forward. I really did this just for a reminder that we should be thinking about ma'aser. And it gives, being a giver gives bracha. If you give ma'aser, you kind of like covered yourself. But everyone has to ask questions themselves. Or there are many fine books and art school to help us think through some of the issues we have as well. And then you can ask even more of an educated art question. There's a book called Stuck in Meister, an art school. I think the shul has that, because I think I bought that for Amachad, for those who are in Amachad, this lecture. that the Beit Taub has a book like that. So there's other books that our school has. Whatever it is, this is just a very basic framework. Okay, what are you about bonds? What are you about sales and mutual funds? These are all complex Meister questions a person should ask. If their personal situation is stressful, or they're struggling, or cost of living, these are all things a person needs to work out. This is just for awareness. How was the best way to tithe the Gemeiser? If you do it in this way, this is the best way to get out of any questions. First of all, you should have in mind when you do the mitzvah of Meiser, it's B'lin Heder, because the R pains, you're not obligated to do Meiser, right? It's a strong minug, and it's not biblical, not rabbinic. And you don't have the nethers. Gamir Shev Pinchas, you should have a table, like a table to work out. Today, there are computer programs, there are apps, there are Excel sheets. It's not, today, it's way, we live in a world, I'm sure there's some AI thing you can do as well, to do Meiser, to figure out positive. It's much less challenging today to keep track of this. And he says you should, every 6 months to a year, the minig of many is from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. The more prevalent minig today is January to January. And the reason the more prevalent minig is to do January to January today is because that's how you file your taxes. And you can see what you made for the year. So most people do it every year. Their Meiser is from January to January because you have a tax year that you're keeping track of that anyway. Anyways. Other people like Rosh Hashanah because that's the Yiddish year, that's the real year. And you keep track what you're making, right? What's your salary per year, right? What's your contract? You say you're making $220,000 this year after taxes. I'm making the taxes. So they take your W-2, $220,000. And so now you would pay $22,000. That's if your salary. What if you're in the stock market? You would, right, that would be a little bit different. But in general, let's say your salary, you go year by year. That's your profits for the year. And you keep track how much you gave, right, of tzedakah. So today, again, I'm just giving an example. Let's say you take taxes per month. Many people take their taxes off on their paycheck. They take off insurance. So let's say you know your salary for $220,000. You would divide it by 12. You can take it out every month, you put some on the side. Let's say you know you have more expenses this month, so take more the next month, but you would give Meiser, again, assuming you can afford to do that. And keep track how much stock you're giving. So the best is to keep it separate account, put it into a donor's fund account, which is like a Jewish discretionary fund, and they work it out, or a Fidelity account. I mean, they say that Fidelity, which is not Jewish, that they only go by zeros, 10s, 20s, 30s, 500, 600, 700, 1,000, $10,000 checks, whatever. But the one number that they allow, which is different, is 18. And so many Orthodox Jews who want to give $36, $54, right, 70, so they give 18s. That's by the way, a fact. Is that the reason? I assume so. But if you want to give $19, you can't do it. 18, but you can do because someone you didn't want to do it. I don't know if they had enough Sfarim. They like 101s and stuff like that, but that they allow. Okay, so Fidelity, you can do anything. You put yourself in a bank account, have called Meister account, stock account. The charity a person gives is again, we discuss this. It's for today. You get bracha today, shmira, you get protection, you get kapara, atonement. You become a holier person, a kinder person. It's your eternal, it's eternity. I'm wearing a suit, I'm wearing a tie. This tie is irrelevant in the world to come. Whether this tie is black or blue or green or red, it's irrelevant. And it's not coming with us. But if I gave charity today, that charity is coming with me. Now, it's important to look good because you make a presentation that can be Kiddush Hashem. I'm not saying, of course that's true. But ultimately, the eternal pure investment is charity, of course, kindness, right? How you do things. The thing is, when you are sheish, either meiser or mashi yotze, right? Year and a half, if you miscalculate, you're more meiser, take it off right away. And if right now you have no poor people, okay, go to Jerusalem, you'll find plenty of people. But if you're not, you know, if you need, you can hold it until you find poor people. Right now it's in your stock account, you have $5,000. You can keep it there until you find somebody who needs it. Let's say you gave more money, right? This year you thought you'd make $300,000, and you have $30,000, and really all you made is $220,000, and you only need to $20,000. So what about the extra $8,000 you gave stock out? Some say it can go to next year. You can push it forward. Others say really not. So it's important, if you say out tonight that if I give extra money on condition, it should go to the next year. That works. It means if a person gave $8,000 more in fiscal year 2026, then that $8,000 could be towards the Meister of the next year. Vinay calls it Toivim Yeshu Esek Prati. But it says if you have a business or you're a storekeeper, then for sure you need to do year by year and just figure it out, your Kabbalah for that year. And that ends this chapter of Meister. Again, it's a little bit technical, but I just want to stress, you know, people give Meister, tithe. This Indian Dr. Gupta was very impressed. We live differently. You look at money differently. You look at your life differently. So you know, we spend many hours of our day working. If a person gives Meister, you're sanctifying that. Of course, when you work to support your family, it's also a mitzvah. And to put your children in yeshivas, also a mitzvah. But you live differently. It's not just about you. It's really lots of whatever, not just created for ourselves. And you have a bigger family than Jewish people. Right? And you can impact the world. And you can impact yourself. You live differently. It brings blessing. It brings bracha. And Meister kind of like gives it that tremendous amount of structure. And again, there are though opinions that hold Meister is even biblical or rabbinic. Again, most opinions hold today, it's not the Meister of the Torah. It's a very strong minig. It's a universal minig, which is Paiskim. Have all kinds of deliberations exactly how do this correctly, right? But beyond the technicalities, it's a life changer, and it brings a person bracha. Okay, next week we'll learn a little bit how you do what it means to give a bit more, to even think even greater than that, and we'll pick up then. We wish everyone a good week. Mazel bracha v'atzacha b'chol inyan.